Thank you to all of our musicians today, and thank you for being here. In the wisdom literature of the Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes, we have the words of one who is rich and privileged and powerful and educated and beautiful, Solomon, the son of King David. He had never wanted for anything in his life, and yet he was human, fragile, broken, sometimes depressed, and though he was surrounded by people, he sometimes felt all alone. In other words, he was more like us than he was different. King Solomon was also known for his uncommon wisdom. He had an uncanny grasp for the common human experience. 3,000 years ago, King Solomon wrote these words. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift the other. But woe to the one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help them. Two are better than one. But the wise king goes one step further, saying, a threefold cord is not easily broken. Two are better than one, a partnership or a couple, but better yet, stronger still, is a community of three or more that binds itself together. And why is this so important? Because the human journey is by nature difficult. Our lives are fraught with danger and disease and betrayal. And ultimately, we are all faced with the reality of our own mortality. The most popular poet of his day, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, enjoyed the notoriety and celebrity of a rock star. Longfellow, you've all heard his poems, like The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. Notoriety and celebrity were his. And yet, notoriety and celebrity do not protect one from the reality of our humanity. Longfellow knew deep despair. When Henry was 21 years old, he was touring Europe. Meanwhile, back home, his playmate and sister, Elizabeth, died of tuberculosis at the age of 20. Longfellow would return to the United States heartbroken. He would marry his childhood friend, Mary Potter. Sometime later, when Mary was 6 months pregnant, she would experience a miscarriage and die from complications. 8 years would pass, 1843. After a long courtship, Longfellow would marry Frances Appleton. They would have six children together. Then one day, as Henry napped, Frances was placing locks of her children's hair in their baby books when her dress caught fire. Startled from slumber, Longfellow would cover her in a blanket to extinguish the flames, burning himself in the process. Frances would die the next day. The human journey. No one escapes its ravages. No one is safe. Calamity is sometimes arbitrary, but aging and loss are universal. Scan the sanctuary this morning. If someone around you seems to be unscathed by the journey, then it is safe to say that you simply do not know their story. No one has an easy life. And though in our younger years we may fail to recognize it, over time, it becomes apparent that our mortality is a reality. I'd like to share with you now a Longfellow poem titled Rainy Day. The day is cold and dark and dreary. It rains and the wind is never weary. The vine still clings to the moldering wall, but at every gust the dead leaves fall and the day is dark and dreary. My life is cold and dark and dreary. It rains and the wind is never weary. My thoughts still cling to the moldering past, but the hopes of youth fall thick in the blast, and the days are dark and dreary. Be still, sad heart, and cease repining. Behind the clouds is the sun still shining. The fate is the common fate of all. Into each life some rain must fall. Some days must be dark and dreary. 100 years later, a 26-year-old Hank Williams wrote these words. Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could cry. I've never seen a night so long when time goes crawling by. The moon just went behind the clouds to hide its face and cry. Did you ever hear a robin weep when the leaves begin to die? That means he's lost the will to live. I'm so lonesome I could cry. The silence of the falling star lights up a purple sky. And as I wonder where you are, I'm so lonesome I could cry. How many of you watched the country music documentary on PBS last month? Some of you, there's still hope for the rest of you. The film, all 16 hours of it, comes to us from Ken Burns, the great American storyteller, historian, and filmmaker. He burst on the scene some 30 years ago, telling the story of the Civil War. His latest film chronicled the history of country music, hillbilly music, front porch music. Much of it was written and sung by poor and uneducated people who use music to tell stories, to pass the time of day, to unite families, and to inspire hope. Hope was the underlying theme. Much like the spirituals that were shared by African Americans in slavery, songs of the trials and tribulations of the human experience always pointed to hope. Hope. A distant promise that was out there somewhere beyond their current circumstances, somewhere beyond the cloud and the tears, beyond the rain and the dreary existence. Hope that tomorrow would be better. And even if this world never treated them justly, there was still hope, hope in the presence of God, hope in the promised world to come. I'll fly away. I saw the light. Go rest on that high mountain. Will the circle be unbroken? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Hope. Things may be bad now, but things are going to get better. Country music has been described as three chords and the truth. A threefold chord is not easily broken. Two are better than one. A community of three is even stronger. Three chords and the truth. King Solomon's wisdom was the truth. Longfellow's poem was the truth. Hank Williams captured the reality of the human condition. And Jesus, the rabbi from the Galilee, our Lord and Savior, said, "The truth will set you free. Lies will always enslave us." Three chords and the truth. Country stories put to music. Honest human stories. In the Bible and in country music, every hero seems to have clay feet. Real people with tear-stained faces, checkered past, and shall we say, interesting families. And in country music, pretending to be something or someone that you're not, was not really put up with too much. Broken people are loved, and people who pretend to be whole are laid bare by truth-telling. There is no time for religious or social hypocrisy. You see it in the songs from the Harper Valley PTA, to "I Have Friends in Low Places," from "God Bless the Broken Road" to "Redneck Woman." Country songs tend to tell it like it is. Chicken fry and cheating hearts. Humor and heartache. Good old boys and the women who stand by their men or kick them in the teeth if they have it coming to them. Passionate love stories and bad marriages. Three chords and the truth, but always pointing. Always pointing beyond current circumstances to hope. Honesty. The truth will set us free. Lies will enslave us. It has been said that Christianity at its very best is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Now, how's that for honesty? There's not a lot of room for pride there, is there? Now, my hope, my great hope for this community is that we would be a place of honesty. Honesty that would lead us to humility. Humility that would lead us to grace. Grace that would set the people of God free. Free to love, free to forgive, free to heal, and free to serve. Honesty, fueled by grace. In short, this community is called to be a sanctuary, a safe place. A safe place to be who you are. You don't need to be straight here to be loved here. You don't need a good resume or a clean record. You don't need to be brave to be loved here. Your faith can be as fragile as your ego, and you will still be loved here. This is a safe place, a triage hospital for people who have been battered and injured and rejected and disappointed. A safe place to cry. A safe place to doubt. A safe place to take off the mask that you wear all week and to know that you will not be judged here. A safe place where no one walks alone, because two are better than one and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Three chords in the truth. A community is the best place to weather the storms of our human frailty. And that's true. It's true if you're a boy named Sue. Or if you're a coal miner's daughter, may we be such a community that bathes in the waters of grace and points always to hope. Now, if you read the good book, and I hope you do, but if you read the good book, what you're going to find there is most of the people Jesus spent his time with would have fit very nicely into a country song. They were, for the most part, uneducated, diseased, and rejected. Known sinners and adulterers who longed for a word of healing and hope. And it did not bother Jesus. It did not bother Jesus in the least to be in their presence. Three chords and the truth. The truth will set us free. Lies will enslave us. And what about the religious people? Well, that was another story. So read that good book again and see how Jesus socked it to the Harper Valley PTA, those religious folks in Jerusalem. Self-righteous religious people. Jesus had little patience for social or religious snobbery. And the truth is, the self-righteous enslave themselves by living a lie, hiding behind a mask that hides the reality of their humanity. They enslave themselves, working hard to put up a facade, smiling through the pain and hoping all along not to be found out. Yes, life is hard. The day is cold and dark and dreary. Into each life, some rain must fall. Two are better than one. Three holding hands can make a strong circle. May the circle be unbroken. And we need circles because life is too difficult to go it alone. Hope. The underlying message of Jesus is one of hope. I want you to hear again the words of Hank Williams. You just sang it, but here are these words written in 1948. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Hank Williams, 5 years later, 29 years old, was the biggest name in country music, but he was not healthy. His back was a mess. He was in constant pain. He self-medicated and was addicted to alcohol and drugs. He was brokenhearted and he was broken. And one night in Nashville, a depressed Hank Williams was trying to find the courage to go onto a stage that he'd been on so many times before, trying to find the courage to go out onto the stage of the Grand Ole Opry, and he couldn't quite find it. An Opry star, Minnie Pearl, took Williams aside. She sought to encourage him, and she sang back to him his own words. She said, "I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night." And Williams responded by saying, "There is no light, Minnie. There is no light." The biggest star in country music would die in the back seat of his Cadillac on the first day of January, 1953. His music had changed the world, but it was unable to change his life for the better. Hank Williams died. He was 29 years old. It was a tragic end to a very human story. But he did not die alone. No, there was no one in the back seat of that Cadillac with him. But he did not die alone, because we cannot die alone. Even when we have lost all hope, hope is not lost, because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hank Williams saw the light on that dark night in the back seat of the Cadillac. He crossed over to the other side. Despair now gave way to hope, and finally there were words of grace for him and a welcome home. Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Hope. Hold on to hope, my friends, and hold on to each other. And may this place be a safe place for you and for everyone. May the truth set us free. Three chords and the truth. Amen. I invite you to sing, and we're going to sing for all we're worth, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?"
Verses will be led.